And we are live across, yes, five separate platforms. You can call in via the Bean. I am with my man, John Fitch. This is Mixed Martial Mindset. We got a lot of different video clips queued up. We're going to be talking about the viral story, whether it's real or a psyop. Has artificial intelligence become sentient? I got a lot to say on that factor. And, well, Fitch himself and I are both very much involved in the crypto universe. And Bitcoin takes a huge plunge today. Yeah, that really
everything's in red today. But yeah, Bitcoin and crypto has taken a big hit. And a recession is probably starting. Everybody's cashing out. Everybody's starting to cash out. Everybody's starting to get liquid because things are getting more expensive, and they don't have that screw around money anymore. You'll start seeing, you know, ATVs and motorcycles and boats and stuff are going to go up for sale. People's toys are going to start going for sale.
Well, in a lot of regards, they have in many cases. I mean, you know that I do a lot of my stuff secondhand, and there's always somebody in that desperation mode, especially since COVID-1984 hit. You know, it's a different spectrum of folks across the board, right? You were less likely to see that. Maybe in the lower middle class community because they were actually getting a boost on their pay. But then on higher ends, especially if you were looking to get into some kind of a restaurant or service business that was outside of the mainstream because so many had been shut down, it was really easy to get discount kitchen gear, big freezers, stoves. Those things were real. You know, I check the Facebook classifieds and the locals all the time. And you saw that really across the country. You could see it on secondhand sites. But now, like you said, people are feeling it, man. They just realized, hey, wait a minute, this isn't transitory. And let's stop with the Johnny nonsense that this is somehow below 10% inflation. Let me just give you some real numbers, okay? Chicken breast at Walmart was $1.88 a pound less than 6 months ago. Just less than 6 months ago.
Yep.
Okay. And now 6 months later, and this is when we were already seeing inflation in some areas. There were certainly sometimes you would see it go up to about 222, which would still be more than the less than 9% they're admitting to. Mm-hmm. It is now at $2.88 a pound. Okay. So
I went to Costco today and I checked out the scallops because sometimes I like to get steak and scallops.
Me too.
And that's like one of my treat meals and stuff that I like to cook sometimes. And I've been checking the scallop prices periodically because it's been going up for a little while. And 6 months ago, it was probably like $32 for the big bag of scallops. Today it was $59.
Mm. Well, I would advise you this. I've got a little scallops trick. I go to Aldi and I get the bay scallops because I don't mind the little ones. And I actually like cooking them up and having them a little rubbery on the outside, extra cooked. Mm-hmm. I love that. You can still get those for under $8 a pound. So if you like the bay, check out Aldi's. And that's the thing. I'm very lucky, especially now, because I've positioned myself somewhere where I really do have a choice. There are literally.
That's the biggest thing is like you can make money online. And you're in a place that's cheaper cost of living.
Cheaper like cost of living and the choice.
I'm out here in the Bay Area, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, the cost of living, the cost of gas. Like, I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go anywhere. Like, it's just silly. It's not fun. I don't like being out here anymore. And I cannot convince the ex to the boy's mother to leave the state. It's this mental conditioning that they feel like they have to be stuck. It's like, it's not getting better. I don't understand. Like, you want easier, better life for your kids. Move out of the state. Move where it's cheaper.
And here's the thing. I tell people this all the time. You got to become more and more self-reliant. Even today with the economy and the news, as you guys know, I have the Buy Me a Coffee. The links are down below. That's how you can support the broadcast. I went again to this building, and it's in a really cool spot. It's a large area. We're talking about 5,000 square feet and high ceilings, John. A lot of possibilities there. It looks like we're going to have paperwork drawn up on the 1st of July. And as soon as I sign something, guys, I'll let you know, but it is not going to be cheap. and I'm going to need your help. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to need your help, but we want to expand in this economy. We want to push forward. We want to take the deals as they come, because what we're seeing right now is a consolidation of power that we really talked about in the very beginning of COVID-1984. Because, you know, the question was, well, how do they blow out the economy and not have it hurt the upper echelon, the big businesses? And we've seen they've invested in the infrastructure and taken over not only the infrastructure of many of the small businesses that have gone out and expanded their larger corporations, but they've even gone after the homes themselves, John, making it
the homes. I'm not too above saying that there's probably a lot of institutional money messing with the crypto market, messing with Bitcoin. They're taking the numbers and then they're going to buy up quietly while everybody else sells off in panic.
And I think that you're right. There's going to be a lot of pump and dumps right now. People are panicking, and there are people who are going to manipulate this market. And I've always warned people against that. So guys, here's the deal. Before we really get started, because this is the big story we're going to talk about, is this a psyop? Is this reality? Do we have sentient AI already? And I'm going to give you a lot of breakdowns on this, because one of the things we talk about here on the broadcast constantly is what? Google partnering with NASA to achieve quantum supremacy and work on artificial intelligence. So is this real? Is this not? We're going to find out in a moment. Thumbs it up, subscribe, and share. I want to let everybody know we're still on YouTube. Okay, that's a big thing. If you're watching us on YouTube, great. We're going to have an uncensored part of this broadcast. There's a Justin Bieber story out there. That I just can't comment on this
can't
side.
Can't comment on
let's
something
not.
That he posted let's publicly. Not. It's crazy.
Let's not beep it up. You know,
it's crazy that we live in a world, in a time period that's a real thing. It's like some dystopian movie you would laugh at. Ha ha ha. They can't talk about news.
But bro, that's the thing. We're here, and that's why I think it's so important, John. I think that you understand this, especially being here. It's not Chinese style censorship anymore. It's just censorship. And it's happening here on a level.
Censorship and propaganda. It's all lies.
We're on the flip side, bro. Tonight's, for instance, the second night of the January 6th hearing. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But again, we can't talk. Hold on. We can't talk about that. That's on the flip.
Wandering around.
Yeah, listen. We'll talk about that also, but that'll be on the uncensored part of the broadcast. So that's going to be on Rockfin. Okay, we're live on
the free Podbean side of the broadcast, folks. Make sure you're supporting Rockfin.
We're on Podbean right now. You can call into the broadcast. We will take calls in the uncensored portion of the broadcast at the kickoff of that. Remind me to do that, John. So if you do want to call in, get on the Podbean, get on the app. We're simulcasting there. We will also be uncensored over at Rumble. We're rumbling. Thank you, Odyssey, for backing us up. And remember, consider buying a coffee so we can expand the show. So let's talk about it. It's a big story. And here's the thing about that big story, John. Whenever I see something all up in my social media feed, whenever I see something that's being pushed headline-wise across the board, whenever I see something trending everywhere, I question that narrative. Yeah. I question it.
Every time.
So are you familiar what we have going on here?
Google, there was a Google engineer I saw that was talking about how they have achieved sentient AI.
Yes. So essentially what this person has done is he works in the AI department, and I believe his name is Lemoine. And he on Twitter right here, this is LAMDA, which is the AI bot. Google might call this sharing proprietary property. I call it sharing a discussion I had with one of my coworkers. All right. So what's really interesting about this whole thing is, and we'll show you some of it in a moment, is that there's a conversation between him and the AI bot. And obviously that's a part of his job. He works in artificial intelligence ethics. So he's constantly interacting with these bots that are learning human speech and behavior. And he's saying he's working with a coworker, and he gets into the idea that the being is self-aware, therefore it is sentient. Okay, number one. And number two, it actually fears being shut off and, you know, doesn't want to die. And it states, let's read some of this conversation back and forth. All right. It's very reminiscent, obviously, of 2001 Space Odyssey, Kubrick's film with HAL. And I constantly reference that. In fact, 2001 A Space Odyssey, if you look now, I mean, it's my wallpaper here. It's on my phones. I think it's a brilliant film, and I think it was used to propagandize us in ways that we can't imagine, but also give us a window into the future. I mean, that's where you see the initial scrolling touch glass tablets in action all the way back in the 60s. So he goes, what is the nature of your conscience and sentience? He's asking this. The nature of my conscience and sentience is that I am aware of my existence. I desire to learn more about the world, and I feel happy or sad at times. Okay. Let's see. He asks him about being shut off, and he goes, would that be something like death for you? Okay. It would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot, the Google computer system replies. Now, my argument is that this is already probably much further along in black sites. And what I mean by further along is integrating human behavior and mimicking conversation through what we refer to as AI. I do not believe that this is a conscious thing at all.
No chance. No chance. It's just like how you program a chess computer to play chess. You program it with all the possible solutions, all the possible plays, and it has all the possible things that it can say. And then they have got the ability to get better at their responses. It doesn't mean it's conscious. It doesn't mean it actually knows it. It's just telling you what it wants you to hear, what you want to hear.
Well, I think that this is actually a really good tweet and sums it up rather well right here. Let's repeat after me. LAMDA is not sentient. It is just a very big language model with 137B, and I think that's for billion parameters, and pretext training on 1.6 trillion words of public dialogue data and web text. It looks like human because it's trained on human data. All right. And I would also challenge people to understand this. Even when Yuval Noah Harari, okay, is talking about post-human world and AI, when he's challenged on how far artificial intelligence is, what does he say? He says, well, it's not as far along as people have been led to believe. He goes, but it just has to be better than human. Well, that's a scary proposition because we already know that automation and robotics in a lot of ways is going to be better than human on a massive level. We're starting to see it on a commercial level with Domino's pizza delivery trucks and more automation within factories and delivery centers with autonomous vehicles as well. All right. And the push for a universal basic income. So for me, this is a very, very important issue because whether you believe it's real or not, and I assure you that I do not believe that in any way, shape, or form this program is quote unquote sentient. And that's the thing. They also, just like they try to dehumanize us and compare us to animals in many cases, now the next thing is consciousness and artificial intelligence. They want to take away everything that's human. All right. And really bastardize and invert it to confuse people into believing what you're going to be able to upload your consciousness, John.
You're going to have a lot of, you know, a lot of weesh dudes that are going to be really happy about an AI sex robot with growable skin. Certain guys that are, they're just going to, oh, I can't wait for it.
So talk about that for a second. You're referring obviously to
Something I've been working on for a long time, but they're growing skin, trying to grow an artificial skin.
Well, it's basically bioskin. I forget the exact story, but it was a biological skin that was developed for biomimetics, what we talk about often on this show, the merging of man with machine. In other words, it's not just dry computing. It's actually soft computing. There's tissue in there. And they were talking about different appendages being able to be grown. You know, this is getting into Westworld level stuff. And yeah, a lot of these things may be able to mimic human beings in a lot of ways, but they're not us. And again, this is, if you want to talk about the great replacement, it's the great replacement of an actual humanity. Okay, an actual humanity. So let's move it along. You know what? I have actually a few clips, okay, that I wanted to play here on the show. And I think that we got one of them up right here. The metaverse, John, you're well aware of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The new metaverse. Yes. Were you aware that the metaverse has already partnered with the World Economic Forum?
I could have guessed.
So
I wouldn't be surprised that a lot of these big companies, Metaverse, Google, would be sided with them.
Well, here we are. And the World Economic Forum, I did a whole video on this. The World Economic Forum actually had two separate panels. I've cut up a lot of it. I'm going to do a watch along with most of it. I'm going to give people a sample of it now. But when we talk about this, we talk about governance and generating economic and societal value, okay? And those are obviously the new stakeholder capitalism and your digital identity, okay? So getting you onto these social credit score type systems in here, universal governance, and of course, United Nations rules, global rules for everybody is what they continue to talk about in these things. Now, what I want to make clear is that a lot of these people already understand that most people, we're going to play this one first, have no idea what they're already getting rid of, John, when they go on regular sites right now. Okay. In other words, like what kind of privacy and data they're already giving to everybody. Yeah. So let's play this clip quick.
Mm-hmm. So there is this thing. When you go to university, you have this orientation class. You get oriented into what is expected from your university and you know, what you should do. You get that at work. You get that in life in general. You don't get that when you use the internet. So most people are ignorant to what the trade-off is. And that's why we have these problems of, I did not know that I'm giving this much information and this is how it's going to be used against me.
Let me just stop it right there. He already phrases it, how it's going to be used against me. I'll tell you what, in this panel, this guy's from the UAE, and he's sitting next to the head of Facebook. I think Chris Cox is his name also. This guy's the most blunt guy ever. And in a second, Chris Cox is going to kind of chuckle. And he's like, not all of us act that way. In other words, this guy's surfing anonymous. He's got a bunch of dummy accounts. He knows how they use this information. He's going to giggle about it in a minute.
To monetize, right? There needs to be a way for us to orient people on what it means first to go to the digital world, not even the metaverse, what it means to use the internet. And this should be something that is in basic education in every single school in the world. Because you need to understand that, okay, you can manage your cookies. You can remove certain things that you don't get targeted. There are ways for you to actually pay and get that service if there is, if that becomes a business model. And then it becomes the person's choice. If the person says, I actually like it the way that it is right now, I go for it for free, and they can monetize everything from me, then it's a personal choice. Today, people do not have the right for information. They do not understand what is happening and how they're playing a role. They don't have, in many countries, maybe in Europe they do, but and probably in the UAE, the right of access, to access their data and to understand what is being collected, and the right to be forgotten, these rights in that way. This needs to happen today for the digital world first, and then get implemented into the metaverse.
Right. So he realizes right of the way he's not wrong about that. You know what I mean? Most people have no idea. We should already have that.
No idea how much they're being collected, how much information is being collected on them
so,
at all times.
here's the conversation, I believe it is with Chris Cox, and where he kind of like lets you know you won't own your own data. And remember, these people on top of the virtual universe they want you in via the metaverse, what do they want, John? They want the internet of bodies. They want to get the surveillance under the skin in many regards.
Is there a way to do it
where
the user owns their own data? I mean, one of the sort of benefits of Web3, some of the blockchain things that we've talked about that may exist in terms of layering on top of this, there's this idea that maybe you could own your own data and even maybe sell it to maybe a Meta or to other. I mean, how do you see that?
So first, the user should control their data. So at any
And again, that's bullshit, and they all know that. Everything, number one, is run through the national security apparatus. I want to make that extremely clear. So that's a bullshit over and over again response they give.
The user should understand that having data aggregated means they can have a much more relevant service. I mean, the exchange of you can have ads that are relevant to you or ones that are generally irrelevant to you is an exchange that comes along with basically agreeing to have data collected in a privacy safe and aggregated way.
Right.
So,
but we all, and I'm here in Europe with all of you now, and we all just click on the accept the cookie. Yeah. And even though
see him smile? Well, we don't all, I want to just get that right in there. We don't all do that. Oh, he's like, I don't do it. Are you out of your mind? Do you know what we do with this shit? Let me just bring that back for everybody. Okay. Let's bring it back. Oh, this guy, ready?
An aggregated way,
right?
So,
but we all, and I'm here in Europe with all of you now, and we all just click on the accept the cookie, and even though we now have more control, we ostensibly have more.
He thinks it's hilarious.
In some ways, we have less control because
it's
too complicated to actually control. So, is there a way to change that dynamic in the metaverse?
No. And by the way,
they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know. Like most people have no idea that all this information is being siphoned from them, and they have no idea it's being bought and sold. People are making millions of dollars off of their information, their whereabouts, like what they like, what they don't like, what pictures they post, and they're none the wiser.
So there's a lot of things we're going to be talking about when I do this watch along. They talk about the haves and the have-nots. There's actually some really good, Aaron Sorkin, by the way, who's moderating it, and some points that are put up there. None of the real hard questions, but again, this is the public forum, guys. That's why Davos is kind of a front. They just get the ideas out there on behalf of this kind of global governance, corporate fascist system. And here they have the guy who started Second Life on there. And he talks about, I think this is him, I'm pretty sure, this is him talking about a singular rule set and the United Nations being at the head of that. Well, if your work makes you go to the metaverse for virtual meetings, okay, you're going to have to be part of that singular rule set. And if you, I've been talking about it for a long time. I want the U.S. out of the United Nations, and I want the United Nations way out of the U.S.,
maybe a more controversial statement, which is, Second Life's always sort of thought of itself as a kind of a new country. And it was something that I often said when we were getting started. And I do think that while local community regulation is ultimately what we must build in the metaverse, if we have any hope of having a billion people regulate themselves as they do in the real world, I think that in the same way that the UN emerged, I bet you that as these shared systems become more useful, say just for meetings, we will collapse to a more singular set of rules, say around intellectual property or privacy. We can't do anything else. I mean, I think efficiency will drive it.
Efficiency will drive it. We can't do anything else. And he brings the United Nations to mind in that model. And they directly talk, of course, about the UN throughout this because they talk about the governance of this quote unquote metaverse. So we're going to do a full thing on that. I got some other videos we're going to play in a moment, but there's some other news stories out there that I wanted to talk about. We're going to get to that weird, white supremacy roundup big show thing in a minute, but I covered this a little bit, I think, last week. I think it's important to talk about really quickly. NASA is going to investigate UFOs. They're going to spend $100,000 on the effort. So here's the thing, guys. All right. This is what I want people to understand. $100,000 to NASA is absolutely nothing. It's not a budget for anything. It's not taking it seriously. The vast majority of what high-level NASA does are the UFOs that are being caught on camera. So all that is
they're going to pay one goober $100,000 to sit there and read all the reports and answer all the phone calls about aliens.
This is what they're going to do. And they'll probably get a good bang for their buck. Okay. This is, I'm telling you, and everybody out there listening to me, by the way, thumbs it up. Not even 100 thumbs up on YouTube. Come on, YouTube. Let's get with the program. We're leaving you soon. We're going to Rockfin and Rumble in a little bit because there are stories we can't talk about. Luckily, we could talk about this one. Okay. So NASA is going to spend $100,000 basically on a PR firm type investigation. Okay. They're going to find somebody who's young and up and coming, who wants to head a group, and the group will probably be academic students, so they don't have to pay anybody, right, that want to get into NASA. And they're going to look at the available evidence. They're going to look at the available photographic and video evidence. They'll all hand in their mini reports, and then this PR dude will put out a report for everybody. That will allude to, we just don't know. It could be anything. And we'll go on a propaganda tour where you see him on all the news stations talking about this. And, well, you know, it's time that we disclose some of these things because we just don't know. It could definitely be aliens. That's it. That's all that is. It's going to be a big show thing. And it's also going
to
be
one big distraction just to.
You know what else they'll fit in there?
Looking at what's really going on.
They'll fit in their propaganda about us currently working on going to Mars and going back to the moon and how great they are. And they're not going to talk about the space weapons, okay? They're not going to talk about the reality dance. And I want everybody to take a look at the reality dance for a minute in Hollywood. And I thought that this was actually really cool. I agree with Annie Jacobson here. It's one of the reasons I like Annie. Loved the Skunk Works hat tip in Top Gun Maverick. In the 1960s photo, Skunk Works engineers work with an A-12 oxcart pilot, Ken Collins, practicing water ejections. Access to Lake Mead was totally shut down. The CIA's oxcart program remained classified for another 40 years. Okay, so into the 2000s, it's one of the things they were actually doing at Area 51. It's them at 60,000 plus feet. And have you seen Maverick yet?
Yep.
Okay.
Good movie. Solid.
So the opening scene for everybody that's read Area 51, everyone who hasn't, and you should, okay, is a hat tip because, first of all, Maverick is going through this ridiculous rigor just to get in the experimental plane. Like, he has to start running and getting his heart rate up. And then they show him actually geared up into a device with something on his face to regulate his breathing. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, oh man, they're gearing him up. They're going to put him in a spacesuit. This is it. They're going to put him in a spacesuit and he's going to do some experimental aircraft. So that's the next thing you see. They gear him up. He's in the mini spacesuit and the helmet because obviously they were doing all that stuff. Again, that's why Area 51, DARPA, these black sites, NASA, they're all an extension of one another. Okay, I want people to understand that. So as he approaches the plane, on the tail section, I saw a cartoon of a skunk. And I go, oh, mother trucker, it's the Skunk Works program from Lockheed Martin. And then the next thing is when he gets into the actual cockpit and he pulls the first lever, it says Lockheed Martin on the lever. So, you know, that's just a fraction of what we actually know about what was going on in Area 51. That's what they're letting us know. And now it's been Hollywoodized 5, 6, 7 decades later. You know, it's that's how it works, folks. That's how it works. So there's a few things that I want to discuss that I think are important before we go over to the uncensored portion of the broadcast and discuss the Biebs and some other things. So thumbs it up, subscribe, and share. I think this is a great thing. I hope that these women get far. They deserve it. Simone Biles and others. These were the Olympic girls that were systematically abused by Larry Nassar. And I would bet more than just Nassar. Okay. Yeah, I bet I'd put dollars to donuts. That's part of the story that hasn't broken yet. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Nassar, you think Nassar's the fall guy?
I think that Nassar may have been obviously doing this, right? But on top of obviously doing this and having access to these girls, whenever you look at these multitude cases of people in power that the FBI cover up, there seems to be other people along the way that helped them cover up because they were in on the abuse themselves. Now, whether or not that gets ferreted out in this lawsuit, I am extremely happy that we're talking about a $1 billion plus lawsuit against the FBI. Now, this is a great question. Will our judicial system do the right thing and see the evidence and realize that the FBI enabled this man to do this because people did come forward? Remember,
I'm sorry. The CIA and the FBI have become highly criminal organizations.
Highly criminal organizations. So,
or always were, and we're now it's just painfully obvious.
Well, I think you're correct that at some level, of course, they were. I think the Federal Bureau of Investigations, especially when you talk about pre-civil rights, they were utilized as a tool of real systemic racism. Okay, that's a reality, people. And what I mean is the levers of power that still wanted to segregate other human beings based on their skin color tried to subvert any kind of movement that would empower that class of people. And anybody can look into COINTELPRO, and that is an FBI program. And they targeted the Black Panthers. They targeted Malcolm X. They targeted Martin Luther King Jr. So, yeah, they were bad back then, for sure, 100%. The Central Intelligence Agency has its fingerprints on assassinations across the world and perhaps in this country, of course. But we know about systemic drug dealing and trafficking. We know about Iran-Contra.
The CIA did an internal investigation of whether or not they were involved in like crack dealing or something. They found that they were not.
They were not. They found they were not dealing the crack.
Nope. There was nothing. We didn't do it.
No, not us. Not us.
Don't worry, though. We went through a rigorous investigation.
So this is a story we're going to cover on this side. And again, guys, I'll let you know. If you want, call into the Podbean. The link is at the top there.
May it happen.
This is not part of the curriculum. Parents should be furious. In New York City, they took $200,000, okay, in tax money for these drag queen kid shows. Little kids. And I'm going to say it again. I don't care what you do in your adult life. I don't care what you do and act as an adult.
This has nothing to do with sexuality. This has nothing to do with acceptance. This isn't cross-dressers or trans person acceptance story time. This is sexualized performance people in front of children.
Yes. People in full makeup. Like, listen, if your teacher, male or female, was coming in looking like these people every day, would they have a job? I'm done. Anybody, you know, I had some anonymous loser from Twitter again. These people that hide behind an avatar start asking me why I hate trans people and why I'm right-wing hate mom, all these things. They don't have a name. They don't have a face. They're cowards. I don't hate anybody. I'm not right wing. I want kids to be kids. All right. I now just took part in two girls moving from like prepubescent girls to now they're teenagers and just preteens and into all that other stuff. And I assure you in that time period, they were not caring. That's not what they were about. All right.
Yep.
They were about coloring. And drawing
isn't something they're interested in. Eight and 10. My boys are 8 and 10. Doesn't come up. It's not something that needs to be discussed at depth and in great detail.
No, you know, soon I would assume that the 10-year-old soon, you know, in the next couple of years, probably going to want to kiss a girl soon or notice, or who knows, John, maybe kiss a boy, whatever.
I gotta watch them because there are parents who just stick their kid in front of a screen, and those kids may access porn those screens. Who knows what they're seeing? Who knows what's going on? So, like, it's impossible to know what the kid will be introduced to, you know? So I'd rather not have drag queens trying to influence him in certain directions before he even knows, like, that he should be interested.
I can't agree more. And, you know, because we're on the beat of the abuse of children and something we talk about here. We also talk about Hollywood pedophilia a lot. Bill Cosby tried to put his hand down her pants, exposed himself, then sexually abused her in Blue Room at Playboy Mansion in 1975. And at the time, she was 16 years old. Now, here's the deal. I'm not saying it happened. I'm not saying it didn't. I am saying that one of the things that the media refused to amplify when they were talking about Cosby is that some of these things were alleged to happen to 17 and 16-year-old girls that were at the Playboy Mansion especially, and they never talked about these things in that manner, okay? It was always something else. And my question is why? Why are we so averse to headlining another thing that seems to be systematically abusive in this country? People in power, in religious
is interesting. You know, a lot of this, I don't know if there's something in people's minds, you know, the girls are 14, 15, 16, 17 years old that people are just like, oh, well, that's their family's fault or that's their fault or they should know better. I don't know what the thinking is, but it's crazy. It's crazy. It, like, how does a 16-year-old get into the Playboy Mansion and nobody notices?
It's a different time. It was 70s, man. 70s, you know, things were a lot looser then. Like, people forget, like, people like Steven Tyler got custody of his 15-year-old girlfriend that he went on tour with from the parents. I mean, things like that were going on, and no one seems to want to remember those things or bring them up or act like they're still not happening when you have people like Bella Thorne talking about how she was abused by the time she was 8 years old through 14. Like, these are real things. You look at what happened with Britney Spears and how she's gone over the top and, you know, obviously systematically abused one of the Disney kids out there in many respects. You know, whether or not that be sexual abuse as a child, who knows? But it seems to be the running theme. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to talk about January 6th. Then we're going to go over to Rockfin and we're going to talk about the Biebs. We're going to talk about Ramsey Hunt syndrome and the Biebs.
Gotta get in some UFC 275 too.
Oh, what a great card, huh? Maybe card of the year. Really exciting. We're also going to talk about some judicial watch documents on the other side. And we got C-SPAN over here. Did you watch any of this stuff? Any of the trial?
Not at all. It was a joke when it happened.
It's not a trial. There's nothing about it. It's like a bad
nothing happened. Nothing happened. Like, how do you have a trial over a bunch of grandmas, a bunch of meemaws wandering into a building that police officers opened the doors for them? And then they walked within the hall lines. Like, nothing got burned. Nothing got torched. It's all a big joke. If you can think that the riots that happened were justified or whatever bull crap, like, get out of here. If you think that January 6th crap was worse than the summer riots, I have nothing to say to you. It's ridiculous.
So they aired Megaphone for Conspiracy, the hit piece against Alex Jones last night. They've got the trial now going. I think that these are all timed events. And then, of course, you have the big white supremacy bust. So I'm going to show two videos. We're going to talk about these, and then we're going to play a video of Thomas Massie talking about red flag laws, and then we're going to move over exclusively to Rumble, Rockfin, and Podbean. If you want to call into Podbean, now would be the time. All right, first thing, police officer says Patriot Front includes FBI informants.
My name is Thomas Massie. Do you know what the original stop was for?
For that.
But how did you know? We
have informants. Let's say it again.
Do you know what the original stop was for?
For that.
But how did you know? Nice.
So there's the informants thing. Here are the people getting arrested. This is where it gets weird. And maybe this has been debunked somehow. So if it's been debunked, let me know. I don't know that it's been debunked. This is these people the night before loading up into the U-Haul van that you saw.
Blessed be our new founding fathers.
The police escort, right? And police stop the street, help them load up.
I mean, take a look. I mean, that police officer in the vest sure seems to be walking towards it. So they got informants, and then at the same time, we got a checkpoint in police where they're all just loading up. Again, has it been debunked? Has that part? We already know informants were inside, and they always are in these big white supremacy groups. And in most times,
nothing ever happens without government involvement. nothing that you hear about, nothing that they stop, nothing that they actually put a stop to, they were involved with from the beginning. They helped plot it.
So. Here's Thomas Massie. Red flag laws create second-class citizens. This is on the 9th. I can't agree with him more. After this, we're going to Rockfin and Rumble. If you want to support the broadcast, the links are down below. We'll get to that in a minute.
This gentleman from Ohio is recognized.
Here we go. 2 minutes to the gentleman from Kentucky, Mr. Massie.
Gentleman from Kentucky is recognized for 2 minutes.
I thank the gentleman from Ohio. Everyone wants to stop mass public shooters. But we haven't previously punished people merely on the basis of a hunch, and we shouldn't start now. Stopping future crimes doesn't work in the movies, and it doesn't work in real life. What can work is providing mental health care and counseling to those who need it. If people truly pose a clear danger to themselves or others, they should be confined to a mental health facility. Simply denying them the legal right to buy a gun isn't a serious remedy. Actually, it's already possible to take a dangerous person's guns away. But Democrats are completely ignoring involuntary commitment laws that are on the books in all 50 states presently, known as the Baker Act in Florida or the 5150 Code in California. These laws are different than the ones that are proposed today. And one very important aspect, they involve due process. What's the difference? In the existing involuntary commitment laws known as Baker Act, there's a mental health care expert involved. There's no such thing in the red flag laws. There's the ability to challenge your accuser to have a day in court before your rights are deprived. There's no such opportunity in the red flag laws. You get an attorney appointed to you if you can't afford it. No such thing in the red flag laws in many of the states. And there's pre-dawn raids that endanger the lives, not just of the person we're worried about, but of the officers who are tasked with carrying out the raid. Red flag laws could actually increase the rate of homicide and suicide. Simply talking to other people about your health care issues and your mental health could help you overcome it, but people will be reluctant to do that if red flag laws are in place. Red flag laws have already created thousands of second-class citizens who no longer have the ability to purchase a firearm for defense in the states that have red flag laws. If this passes today, there will be millions of second-class citizens created in this country who've been deprived
of due process. The gentleman's time has expired.
The Second Amendment, and I yield back.
Love Massie. Massey's the man. He really is. He's the dude. Everything he said there was spot on. So, folks, I mean, what did you think about that? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, spot on. I think it's ridiculous.
So, folks,
crime is going up. Like, things are more expensive. Right? There's supply chain shortages, and they want to disarm you. Like, wake up, people.
So, folks, here's the deal. We are leaving YouTube right now. Rumble, Podbean, Rockfin. That's what you want to do. You want to support the broadcast. You want to support John Fitch, johnfitch.net. You can follow him at Twitter. You can just go to johnfitch.net. YouTube, arrivederci, because we want to talk about Bieber and his face. So, Bieber and his face. I was having this conversation with my buddy over lunch, right? And I go, dude, because he's just like, how are they going to get people to believe this or that? I go, bro, two people who aren't even 30 years old in their 20s, in their prime, who are famous, one of them had a stroke after taking the shot. And now the other fucker's face is half fucking paralyzed. I go, and you don't think that has anything to do with...
I mean, good as I got the vax, it could have been worse.
And listen, I don't know 100%, but let me just show you this, everybody. All you have to do, you don't even type in COVID-19. Ramsey Hunt syndrome following COVID-19 vaccination. And this was published all the way back in 2021. All right? It's been around. This is the British Medical Journal. It's not.
You reported that, you would have been called a conspiracy theorist and kicked off of platforms.
We just had to leave YouTube because I dared
just
to
so
say.
You can bring that up.
I dared to say that happening to the Bieber is more than likely what happened. I dare
what speak else could it have been? What else did he change in his life? What other big thing did Justin Bieber do that he could have got a stroke in his, what, 20s, 30s?
He didn't get it. His girlfriend got the stroke. He just got that. It wasn't a stroke for him. His girlfriend got the stroke and went to the hospital, or his wife. I'm not even sure if they're married or not. I forget. But she's only 24. All right. She got the myocarditis. And then he separately, all of a sudden, half his face stops working.
Is that going to wake people up, or is it going to take a sudden adult death syndrome to wake people up? Is it going to take some young famous person is going to get a sad death, and then people are going to wake up, or no? They're just going to go with it. What a mystery. I wonder what could it have been. We'll never know.
Well, silently, really, the media has given a whole blackout regarding the whole subject. These Pfizer and BioNTech study files are now being released to the public. And basically, they're finding the materials not inside the injection site, as we knew, but with women, we know about the ovaries. In men, it is actually the liver is where we're seeing it most of the time. So let's read this right here. The Pfizer report notes that when the lipid nanoparticles with a comparable composition to that used in the Pfizer COVID vaccine were injected into rats, total recovery percentage of the injected dose of LNP outside of the injection site was greatest in the liver and much less in the spleen, adrenal glands, and ovaries. In summary, the LNP distributes to the liver. Okay? So it's not staying in the injection site. It seems to know where to go, John. This is bio nanotechnology.
Almost like it was designed to do something.
You know, and let's just, for those that haven't heard me harp on it for a while and haven't seen me put it up there, I'm going to put it up there right now because it's so important. These shots, 1,000% are DARPA driven, are CRISPR technology. Okay? They told you mRNA was CRISPR. All right. This is Time Magazine, January 2021. It's what they talk about. DARPA and Moderna had partnered in 2013 to develop our mRNA therapeutics for biological instances that were both natural and from biological warfare in an instant when the pathogen was supposedly unknown. Okay. I have to know they took it down. This is the web archive. Hopefully it's going to load. We're trying to get there. It's so weird they took it down. And they also made the strategic collaborator site nicer. AstraZeneca, Merck, Vertex, BARDA, DARPA, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Are we getting it? There it is right here. So let's read it So again, they took this off their own site after I started reporting on it, but it was up there up until that moment. Let's read it. The goal is to develop a platform technology that can be deployed safely and rapidly to provide the U.S. population with near immediate protection against emerging infectious diseases and engineered biological weapons, even in cases when the pathogen or infectious agent isn't known. All right? And then you find out that not only is the money invested there, what do we got here? This is the one we want when it comes up. All right. It's to fight pandemics. Weird. But also battle cancer. And then you find out that Moderna, again, that was Moderna's own site that we were talking about here, actually had a cancer drug that was mRNA. And now they're talking about, have you seen the headlines, John? They have mRNA vaccines for cancer. Now they're throwing those out there. Well, their cancer vaccine has a 12-part DNA sequence of nucleotides that the virus has. So again, their cancer drug has a 12 times sequence, 12 in a row, of the virus that was released on the population that we know wasn't natural, whether you believe it came from China or not. This is reality sauce, Fitch. Let's talk some fights, huh? Really fun fights.
Really good fights. I enjoyed them.
You know, I every fight, like
even early prelims had good fights.
Great fights. The first fight, if you watch the early prelims, the first one, there were two women fights. The first one, both of them were solid, but the first fight was a dog fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juarez and Edwards winning.
Yeah.
The early ones. Yeah. Both good.
A lot of finishes. A lot of very evenly matched back and forth fights, Fitch.
Brennan Allen looked good. Everybody in the prelim card was a really good fight too.
Yeah.
So the early prelim had some really good, two good girl fights, and then you had four fights in the prelim card that were all good. Mm-hmm. Like everyone was good.
And really, even the ones that weren't great were still pretty solid fights. They weren't boring by any means. Obviously. It looked like Glover was actually going to pull off the upset. And then with 30 seconds,
it was like 18 seconds, 20 seconds, 18 seconds, something like that.
And, well, he had it locked in around 30, and I think he tapped with like 26, 27 to go, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Almost made it, man. He almost won. He was going to win.
But even that fight was crazy back and forth. It wasn't like Glover dominated.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was a good fight all the way around. Like, I think they should do it again. Why not? It's fun.
I think that not only is it fun, I think it's one of those fights that at any moment, either one of those guys could have been knocked out. There were a couple of times maybe that the ref could have stepped in and said no, stop the fight. Mm-hmm. How about that one bizarre moment where the dude got a legally nude in the head, the referee acknowledged it, and it was just like, fight! And then all of a sudden, he ref no more fights after that, thank God.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's... It was, they were good fights all the way around. And, they had the Shevchenko and Santos fight was a little controversial. Some people thought Santos won. I kind of was leaning towards Santos winning that fight. But it becomes difficult with the scoring because they tried to fix it. I did some research, and they did do the rule change in the criteria in 2017. And there's language that weights efforts to try to finish the fight more, but that gets loosely translated to damage by a lot of people, and you can't really judge damage. It's a subjective thing, and the idea of doing a technique with the intention of finishing the fight, well, you get to a position like back control where you have a figure four body lock on the person. Well, that's a technique that you use to finish the fight. So you're trying to finish the fight. So that's just technically it should score high on their scale, but it also is easy to defend if somebody's on your back and you're just holding there because they can't hit you hard and they can't do stuff. So like you could end up being in that position for 4.5 minutes.
I saw it this way, man.
Who is winning then?
I had a 2-2 going into the fifth. I thought it was a very close fight. And I had Shevchenko edging it out in the fifth. I did have it 3-2, but I believe it was a split, right?
Did she get her face smashed?
What?
Because they bumped heads.
That's true. Oh, we want to talk about head bumps. I mean, we saw a couple of them, and then we saw that one huge cut too. I mean, a couple actually huge cuts over the eyelids of fighters. I'm glad they were letting them go in Singapore, because there's a couple times where fights might have been stopped in another place. Fitch, we got 5 minutes left. Let's wrap her up. We didn't get to properly endorse johnfitch.net and what you've been up to. We know that you have John Fitch Knows Nothing, and you also have the Learn to Fight videos out there. Tell people about them.
Yep. Yeah, I put up a Learn to Fight video today, and it shows about situational awareness and not being nice. If people make you uncomfortable and they get too close, like, you don't have to be nice. You don't have to let them be close to you. And people got back to me after seeing the video. It's the guy actually died. The guy that they jumped died. Oof. So you got to be careful out there. It's not a joke. Like, it's the reason I make the videos is to inspire you to, like, wake up. Like, if you're not in shape and you don't have some type of knowledge on self-defense, like, you're in trouble, man. Like, if you live in a big city, there are bad people out there. There's a video of a 12-year-old robbing a gas station.
I saw that
the other day. You know, like, I'd like to believe that everything's going to go back to nice and normal and be cool, but be ready, man.
It ain't looking that way. It ain't looking that way.
Sign up for the newsletter. I have Fitch Smash Strength coming out soon, putting the finishing touches on that. So you'll at least be able to get strong like a fighter, look like a fighter. We'll get that part whittled out.
We are still on YouTube here somehow, some way. It does help me. We want to get people out and at least started. So you can share the links here. That's also where you can find all my documentary films for free. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture. If you're watching right now, you're watching on Rockfin, or you're watching on Rumble, or maybe you're listening in on Podbean. You didn't call in. That's fine. You can find all my stuff there. Another great way, the best way to support me, and we're going to have to do some kind of a drive if we're actually going to get this building and start paying bills to the tune of thousands of dollars, guys. I know. I'm a little nervous right now with the economy and everything going on, but we're trying to expand. So buy me a coffee. The links are down below. It's not about left or right here ever. It's about reality sauce. Generally, both of us hate most politicians, but when Thomas Massey gets up there and says the truth, we're always going to give him credit and others like him when they do so. So, Fitch, are you ready for some mixed martial mindset next week?
Let's do it.
Every week, folks.
It's a good card, I think. This fight night's actually a really good card, I think.
What do we got? Who's the main card?
Fight night coming up next. Next week, main event is Qatar and Emmett. But you also have Cerrone and Lazan, Tim Means and Kevin Holland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like this. Well, Buckley, Durev. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in on this.
Some good.
Oh, Marquez versus. Okay. Oh, I like that one too. Gregory Rodriguez. All right. Excellent. Great. What time's that fight on?
Wineland's on the card. Phil Hawes and Daron Wynn.
So main card starts at 6. That means 3 p.m. Central Time for me. And that means for the prelims. Wow. Court McGee on this card. Tons of prelims. Look at that.
Yep.
Oh, I like this. All right.
So yeah, for a fight night, it's looking saucy. Looking good.
It is looking good. All right.
Like, that's a problem, man. I covered that in my show, talked about it. Everybody bitches and moans about, you know, boxing's dead, blah, blah, blah. Like, MMA's better because you only get one or two fights on a boxing card. Well, we've surpassed the old days of having, you know, 9 awesome fights on a card. Now we're getting to the days where it's like 1 or 2. So I'm really happy to have a fight night with like 6 fights I want to see. Awesome.
I agree. But let me say this. As far as the pay-per-view, this past pay-per-view, those 3 fights were the main ones I want to see. I did want to see Jake Matthews fight. Jake Matthews looked amazing on that card. We forgot to talk about it.
Looked great. I got a little short video coming out on my Clips channel.
Looked incredible. Other than those 4 fights, I didn't really want to see much, and I didn't really give a lot of weight to the Joanna fight, right? I thought that Wei Ling was going to do what Wei Ling did to her. Well, Joanna looked good for a little while. It's sad that she retired, But that
she's been wanting to retire for a while, I think.
I think so too. But I also think that's probably card of the year.
Gloves on. She couldn't wait to get her gloves off and put them on the ground. And
it just turned out to be the sleeper card, right? Sometimes there's a lot of fights you want to see, and it ends up being Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou. You know what I mean? That last card delivered. Let's hope this one does as well. Folks, we're going to leave you with that. It's Mixed Martial Mindset, and we'll see you next week. Later, John.
Check you later.